Trump's victory was fueled in part by coal country. He made a simple promise that scored major points with miners.
Coal's coming back. That's all that man had to say to get the vote down here.
That's Marty Cottingham. He mined the Blue Creek coal seam in Alabama for 34 years. And sure, a coal comeback is about jobs and economics, but he says it's about more than that. It's about an identity, a way of life, a community that is disappearing. Our science reporter Irina Zhorov went to visit him in Alabama.
In 1982, Marty Cottingham spent a night standing on the side of a narrow country road, waiting in line for an interview at the local coal mine. It was one of the best-paying jobs in the area, and he got hired. He still recalls his first day of work.
I remember I was so proud. I was 19, just turned 20, and I didn't want to take a shower. I wanted my family to see me when I come out of there because I was dirty, and I just felt good.
He worked the night shift 6 days a week. He'd get in a little early, get ready, then take an elevator, what he called the cage, down.
When you're standing on that cage, you're looking down, it's got a grated bottom, and you look like you're looking down a gun barrel. And down there at the bottom, it looks just like a grave, you know, an open grave. You go down to it. You always want to just ask the good Lord when you, before that cage dropped down, ask him, let me see the daylight again.
Underground, he relied on a little light on his head to grope through the darkness. He worked various jobs. At times, he ran the miner. That's the machine that shears coal from the rock face.
When you get to running that coal, you just get happy. You just get happy. You're just eating away at it. I mean, you're the miner, that's what it does, and it just, yeah. That's just the way it gives you.
For years, he also worked as a roof bolter. That's the person who goes in after a section of rock is mined out to drive rods into the newly exposed ceiling so it doesn't collapse.
I had a federal inspector tell me, said, you know, you're just like an astronaut. You are the first man to walk out there where you're supporting the top. I just thought that was cool, you know.
The earth revealed wonders to him as he worked.
I've seen oil just start pumping out of the rock, just oil. Look up and see just a wall of crystal, quartz rock. You know, it makes you think, you know, there was something here before. You know, there was, you know, there, and trees, limbs, ferns, everything like that.
Other things he wouldn't talk about as much, like the fires. Methane made the very air volatile, and there was so much gas in the mines, he says he initially used a brass-headed hammer to avoid hitting a spark. About 15 years ago, high methane concentrations made him pass out and fall off his machine. He says he's got the body of a 70-year-old man, though he's just 55.
I have two herniated discs in my neck, two bulging discs in my lower back, compression fracture to my spine. I tore all the muscles away from my chest wall, and my hearing's gone, my rotary cups are gone, you know, my knees are shot. I have what you call hammer toes from wearing rubber boots, but other than that, you know, I'm all right.
Even with all the hardships, Cottingham thanks the coal mines for just about everything he's got. His house, his financial comfort, even his 18-year-old twin daughters. Literally.
They're mining my wife's, but she had messed up tubes. And thanks to the coal mines being able to make the money, I had it, artificial insemination. I was able to afford it.
Cottingham retired this October. The company he worked for, Walter Energy, declared bankruptcy in 2015, and a judge allowed the corporation to renege on the contract it had with its workers. Cottingham says the insurance and benefits the new company offered weren't as good, and his nearly six-figure income would have decreased by almost half. So he left. But that doesn't mean he doesn't miss it. We get in his car to drive out to the mine where he worked for all those years.
Okay. We are headed to Brookwood, Alabama, Jim Walter, number 5 washer. That's where I spent my biggest part of my mining career, was at number 5 mines.
Driving on a 2-lane Alabama country road framed by cuts of red soil, we glimpse coal piles, quarries. We pass through tiny Brookwood, a town built on coal, past a church where miners gather every year to commemorate a fatal 2001 accident. We park facing the stilled conveyor belts of the number 5 mine.
I feel good sitting right here. I do. I've got chills. This is where I spent my life. And, you know, I'm proud of my coal mining days. I really enjoyed it.
There's so few people that would describe their job in such emotional terms. What is it that makes you feel that way about it?
Well, it's the people.
He says the bonds between the miners, intensified here by the danger of the gases, made his years underground some of the best of his life.
You got that love for each other that just don't come from just anywhere. It's something that you as your brother, and you've got to always remember, you are your brother's keeper, and your brother keeper, you've got to take care of each other, because who else down there in that hole beside the Lord don't help you?
He and many of the men he started with were young. They grew up together in that mine, gave the mine their best years, spending 60 to 70 hours per week together. So the bonds between them were joyful.
We used to play. Everybody would save their sandwich bags, and on the way out, we would have water bag battles. People wouldn't drink their water just to play on the way out riding the bus. I mean, things like that. It don't sound like nothing, but, you know, it was fun. You know, it was just enjoyable.
And he says it was not unusual for the men to talk each other through serious personal issues.
I was working with a man, and I'd been working with him for a few days, and he said, "Marty, there's something bothering you." And he said, "I know it is." He knowed me. He could tell. And I said, "Well, Leroy," I said, "I have an autistic daughter, and I'm having a hard time accepting that." The man put his arms around me, and he looked at me, and he said, "God don't make mistakes. He give you that daughter because he knowed you'd take care of it." Now, would you expect to hear that from a coal miner?
It sounds like there's almost two losses for you, right? The loss of, like, a steady income, but then also the loss of this sort of other culture and camaraderie.
It's a big loss in my life, and that's one reason that, as of right this minute, I'm really thinking about going back to work, because I'm not old enough not to work. And that's all I know. I can run heavy equipment, and I'm a coal miner.
Irina, what has Marty been doing since he retired from the mines?
I checked in with him recently. He said he hasn't gone back to the mine yet. He's working full-time, operating a front loader, and then he's also delivering pizzas part-time. So still working something like 60 hours a week, just not in the mine.
Now, he mentioned a lot of different health conditions. Does he still have insurance?
So per his contract at the mine, he was supposed to have 100% covered insurance for the rest of his life.
Wow.
After the bankruptcy went through, that went out the window, obviously. So for now, he does have insurance, but it expires in April. And so last session in Congress, there was a bill that was supposed to funnel money into this fund to keep it funded for retired miners like him. That ultimately failed, but it has been reintroduced in both the House and Senate. A Democrat from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, who was really pushing it last session, he said he's met with Trump. Trump supports the bill, so we'll see what happens. If it doesn't pass, you know, he's out of insurance.
Speaking of Trump, obviously he said he would bring coal back. That was a big selling point. Can he do that realistically?
So there's two types of coal. One is used to make electricity, and it's been edged out by really cheap natural gas. The other kind of coal is used to make steel. And right now in places like Europe and China, where a lot of our coal goes, they don't need as much steel. They've been growing slowly. There's been a slowdown. There's not as much demand. Less demand for steel means less demand for coal. These are really global forces, and there's not that much that Trump can do about those.
Did you and Marty talk at all about climate change? It seemed like he had this deep love for his job, but also for the earth.
Yeah, sure. So he told me that he's an outdoorsman, he's a hunter, he cares about the environment. But he also told me that the miners, you know, they would take a cookie break. They would sit around and talk about politics. And if climate change came up, which he said it did not very often, if it came up, they would laugh about it. Hmm. It just was the sort of thing that seemed too abstract. He could say, I got my house because of coal, my community, everything here is built on coal. But connecting coal to climate change was more abstract. He actually told me that he doesn't believe in it.
How does he feel about his decision to vote for Trump?
He's still very optimistic, but with a caveat.
Until he proves himself, he can't be called a good president. He can't be called the best choice until he proves himself.
Thank you, Irina.
Thanks, Mikan. I've got a man.